Good afternoon, everyone. The Mortimer Kaplan Public Service Center welcomes Ms. Susan Sautel and Ms. Tania Calhoun from the Government Accountability Office to Virginia Law. We also extend our welcome to all of you here. The Public Service Center has had a very busy fall, and which may explain the barrage of emails you've received. Could also be spam by some of you. We apologize for that, but we will continue to send these announcements in an effort to reach out to all of you and to promote our pro bono project. This is our sixth presentation this fall, and it's our second by the federal government. I must say that this is my favorite, not just because we like Ms. Sautel, but because what the GAO does for our government and for us, the people of the United States. The brilliance of our democratic system of government from its start, is that it's been based on the principle that our liberty cannot be entrusted to one single arm of the government, and that even one that rules through the consent of the governed must be held to a high standard of accountability. From its founding in 1921, the GAO has supported Congress in meeting its constitutional responsibilities to help improve the performance and ensure the accountability of the federal government. This is what makes the GAO one of the most important federal government agencies, not just for lawyers to work, but indeed for making the government accountable and for the important role it plays in safeguarding our democracy. It's truly a pleasure to see Susan Sautel at the law school again, at Wahoo. She is a managing associate general at the GAO, at the Office of General Counsel, and Ms. Tania Calhoun. Ms. Sautel oversees the GAO's legal advice and opinions provided to Congress, the Comptroller General of the United States, and the GAO's analysts on issues including energy, the environment, telecommunications, transportation, and the financial markets. Prior to joining the GAO in 2001, Ms. Sautel was a partner at Wiley Ryan Fielding in Washington. She has served at the National Science Foundation's research base at the South Pole in Antarctica as the station's environment, health, and safety manager. Ms. Calhoun is senior attorney in GAO's financial market and community investment team. She began her GAO career 16 years ago after graduating from George Mason University School of Law, and has also written bid protests, served as committee counsel to a Senate committee, and has been special assistant to GAO's general counsel. Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thanks all for coming in on this beautiful Charlottesville day, and really appreciate the Public Service Center and Yared and our friend Jason for putting this together for us. It's always great to be back in Charlottesville, and we're here for a couple days. We're going to be doing a lot of really good interviews tomorrow, so looking forward to this very much. And in a moment of technical question, where is the, thank you very much. You can see, this is my maiden voyage with this slideshow. You know, GAO, you probably heard of us and you see us on the front page of the paper, the government's watchdog, the investigative arm of Congress. But until a couple of years ago, we still had the name General Accounting Office. And so people, probably you all, are not quite sure what we do, and you perhaps think, well, you know, those number crunchers, and you have to have an accounting degree or a green eye shade or something, and I don't even know how to balance my checkbook, so that's not really a good place for me. And so we wanted to just spend a couple of minutes here, you know, telling you who GAO is today and what the people really do and what the lawyers do and what we do for Congress and the American public. So we will get started. As I said, GAO is about more than numbers. We are about accountability. A couple of years ago, 2004, Congress changed our name, in fact, to the Government Accountability Office. Still the same brand name, GAO, same credible, reliable brand that everybody knows and relies on, but accountability really reflects much more what we're about. Can everybody see? Should I move out of the way? As I said, you know, we have a lot of nicknames. You've probably heard us call the investigative arm of Congress. We are part of the legislative branch of the government, and we are a very important part of the system of checks and balances that Jared talked about. It's an interesting situation because Congress, obviously a political branch, but GAO is the independent, non-political, non-partisan part of that. Government's watchdog, the taxpayer's best friend, and we were just recently voted 2007, one of the top, number two actually in the federal government of best places to work by the Partnership for Public Service. So we were very gratified by that. Here's a little bit about what we do.
$1 billion in waste and inefficiency.
The general for 1,200.
The U.S. government's controller general is head of the GAO, which until 2004 stood for this.
Jeff.
For the general accounting office.
The general accounting office. Why change the government accountability office? We needed a name that was more reflective of who we are and what we did, that helped us both within the Beltway and also recruited people, especially to the extent that we finally recruited lawyers, PhD economists, MBAs. And so we decided that the Government Accountability Office was more reflective of who we are and what we did.
David Walker is a shrewd man and a highly respected public official. He has more than 3,000 employees, a budget of $500 million, and a message he considers urgent.
It appears that more than $1 billion in government relief money, I said more than $1 billion, has wound up in the hands of the criminals.
The federal government needs to do a lot more to guard against security breaches like the one we've seen at the VA this spring. That's according to the GAO, the Congressional Water.
There is a scathing new report tonight about waste in the Department of Homeland Security. In the wake of Hurricane Katrina, federal employees in every
state have found that the Corps analysis tends to be fraught with errors and miscalculations.
What we found was that the department has been making personnel decisions about how reservists are called up with a short-term focus.
Specific requirements are considered sensitive security information, but what I can say is what we found is TSA's primary security method for cargo and passenger planes is a known ship.
We thank General Walker and the leadership of GAO for providing. They are a big part of all this stuff. We identified at least $400 million of items that they were giving away, selling for pennies on the dollar, destroying at the same time they were in demand by the military.
Congressional investigators found female class travel accounted for half the cost of all tickets issued to State Department employees.
Thanks to Controller General Walker and his staff for doing the extraordinary work that they do in preparing these reports. It was the closest thing we have to maybe pull a mirror.
The Government Accountability Office aims to report federal programs, ensure that government works and actually represents the will of the American people. What in the world does Congress say when you tell them? Folks, this is a way that I'm trying to lead by example and make truly make our organization a quarter of choice in a world-class professional services organization. We just have to be in
government. Thank you for your work here with the people on doing this federal work.
So that gives you just a little taste, and there were a couple of our colleagues in the General Counsel's office in there. GAO has lawyers on every single product. You know, the archetypal, and you saw a couple of things here. The archetypal photo shot on the evening news is a senator or congressman holding up a blue cover report. That's our sort of stock in trade. GAO issues about 1,000 reports a year, and we testify multiple times every week before Congress, from the Comptroller General to the heads of the teams in the various subject matter areas. Sometimes the lawyers also testify. But in any event, our lawyers are involved in every single product that GAO issues, and we also have, as Tanya will tell you, a couple of very specialized groups in the General Counsel's office. A couple of things to stress about what we do. We, as I mentioned, are in the legislative branch and the political entity called Congress, but we're the independent part. We're the nonpartisan, non-ideological, investigative and fact-finding and analysis arm. That's what we do. We look into things. We go out into the field. We don't just research things. We go out there. We lift things up. We interview people. We really get behind and find out some pretty interesting and sometimes some pretty scary things. And then we analyze it, and we issue very specific recommendations on each and every report that we issue. We issue them to the agency. Here are the very specific things we think you should do to fix this program. There's a high risk list that we issue every other year, particular agency programs that are at great risk of fraud, waste, and abuse. And we also tell Congress what we think, statutes that we think could bear changing. And so we make recommendations to them. Overall, though, we help Congress carry out its constitutional responsibilities, which, of course, include oversight, appropriating monies. That's how the government works. Congress, as you know, in the Constitution, is the only part of the government that can appropriate monies. And so we help Congress get the information it needs to make informed judgments about where the money should be going, how it's being spent, whether it's being appropriately allocated and is being legally spent. And all of this, because almost all of our reports are public, we do a fair amount of classified work also, so a lot of our employees have security clearances, top security clearances, but most of our work is available on our website, so it's issued for the benefit of the American public as well. We have what we call core values. We've always had these, but we've articulated them very specifically in that last couple of years. You'll see these words: accountability, integrity, and reliability. They're on the front of the GAO building. Accountability, integrity, reliability. They're on our ID badges, our coffee cups, every single GAO report. You'll see these core values. And I think you've gotten a copy of the handout, so there's more information on this. But essentially, our job is to help the system of a balance of government and to make sure trust but verify. You know, that could be another one of our mottos. We help get the information, and we do it in a very transparent and exacting way. Our work covers, what do? You know, you probably perhaps have seen the Iraq report we issued recently. It was actually leaked, not by GAO, of course, and about how we think the progress is being made in Iraq. We do things, everything that the federal government has done, is doing, or is thinking about doing, really across the country and anywhere in the world where the United States government is involved, GAO goes. We send people around the world. We send them to different parts of the country. As this says, oversight, insight, and foresight. That's what we do. We do answer, and most of our work is in response to very specific Senate or House committee requests or members of Congress individually. We also have statutory mandates that direct us to do certain things. But the Comptroller General, that's the head of GAO, who you saw in the video, has special responsibility to do what we think is the right thing to do, looking ahead and trying to look at national and international trends that we think will be important for the American public. So there's a little bit more information there. As we say, GAO follows the federal dollar wherever it goes. That's in our statute. We have authority to look into any kind of spending. What that means for the lawyers, and we'll get into more detail in a second, but essentially that means we need to know, and the analysts need to know, something about every single program that the federal government has. That's a lot. That's a lot of areas. GAO and then our office is essentially organized by subject matter. So there's a healthcare team, there's a defense team, there's an energy and environment team, there's an international trade team, et cetera. And we need to be the experts in everything. So we have lawyers who know, obviously, we all know about administrative law, and I urge you all to take that. Telecommunications law, transportation law, government contracts, as I said, financial services, which is where Tanya is. There's a special body of law, appropriations law, very important, because unless you know how the money is allowed to be spent, the federal government would come to a halt. These are the laws governing that, and a lot more, and we have information in the handouts. I'm going to turn it over now to Tanya, who's going to give you a little bit more detail about what the lawyers do.
This is our essential org chart. I don't know that really tells you much, except that we have audit teams, which parallel the analyst teams that do the work that Susan was talking about, which is most of what GAO does. We have a budget and appropriations team, which specializes in appropriations law. We have a procurement law team that does bid protests, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then we have an in-house lawyer function, our legal services group. When I was a law student, I was a summer associate in 1991 at GAO, and it was very hard for me to figure out what a lawyer would do at GAO, and very hard to articulate because I think there's so much of it. Right now I work in the audit support function and the financial markets and community investment team, and essentially the major thing I do is I give legal advice and services to my client, the analyst team, and the Comptroller General on questions that come across mostly from the Congress. So, for example, if a member of Congress writes to us and says, you know, I'm very concerned about whether or not this particular small business program is being run the way it's supposed to under its authorizing statute, can you look into it and answer these three specific questions? The team will do the non-legal work, but I will give them the legal advice that they need. I will give them the legislative history of the program. I will interpret the statute and the regulations for them. As we go down the road, if we need access to documents and we're having difficulty getting that, then I will help them work through our audit and access rights, our legal authority, to get the information that we need to do the job. If we need to draft legislation so the Congress can look at something, I'll help with that. If we need, by the time we get to the end, if we do a testimony, then I'll make sure that that's legally sound. And the final report, I'll go through that and make sure that it's legally accurate and makes sense. And that any recommendations in there make legal sense. I used to, when I first started GAO, write bid protests in our procurement law function. And essentially, we have 30 lawyers about who do bid protests, and they act as quasi-administrative law judges resolving disputes over the award of federal government contracts. We are the only administrative function anymore that does that. And it's a very short time frame, 100 calendar days, a decision has to be out, and you sort of have hearings and parties, and you write a decision at the end. It's very exciting. We have a group of about 10 lawyers, I think, who do appropriations law, as Susan said, an incredibly important function. And GAO is the government's expert in appropriations law. We write a four-volume, I think it's four or five, volume, a multi-volume Bible to appropriations law that's on our website if you'd like to take a look. And then we have 10 lawyers who service our in-house counsel. As I said, I was a summer in 1991, and then I came to work at GAO. Most of our entry-level lawyers come from our summer program. Unlike a lot of agencies that you probably know about, we are able to make permanent offers to TULs if they successfully perform in the summer. When you're a summer associate at GAO, you basically are an entry-level attorney with a lot more supervision. You rotate through two OGC teams. We ask for preferences and try to match them up. And you do what a lawyer would do. You do legal research, you write legal memos, you talk to the client, you advise them on legal issues, you go to the same meetings and briefings that they go to with agency officials and Hill staff. You look at the reports, and you make sure they're legally sound and draft legal decisions. When I was a summer, I drafted some banking legislation, and I drafted bid protest decisions, just like the lawyer in the cubicle next to me at the time. Now we have offices, but it was a cubicle then. If you come to work as a GAO entry-level attorney, for the last 3 or 4 years, we've had a very formalized an extensive legal honors program that lasts for 2 years. And right out the gate, you make immediate substantive contributions and have very substantial responsibilities, just like an attorney who's been there for 20 years, except you have more supervision. We assign you to a specific team, either an audit team or the bid protest team or appropriations or what have you, so that you can gather subject matter expertise, you can get client skills, or in the case of the bid protest function, which does not have clients, get skills with outside parties. We have extensive training, such as RJO's Audit and Access Authority. We have classes on copyright law and detecting fraud, and I think we're up to 12, 15 classes, so that you can really get a sense of what it's like to be a JO lawyer really fast. I think within the first year, you've got a lot of training. We offer assistance with student loan repayment up to, the statute authorizes up to $60,000 over a lifetime. We annually reimburse your bar dues, and there are potential recruiting bonuses. Just to give you a taste of some of the lawyers we have, the next couple slides will have three fairly new lawyers that we have who graduated from UVA. Liz Beardsley graduated this spring. She works in Susan's Natural Resources and Environment team. And you can read for yourself, but one of the tasks that she did last summer, I think, was looking at a question of first impression on EPA's possible legal obligations to clean up toxic sediments after Hurricane Katrina. Another of our attorneys, Lisa Hovey Motley, also graduated from here this spring. She's on our healthcare team. And last summer, she did an extensive memo on whether Congress can require prior FDA approval of consumer ads for prescription drugs. And A.J. Stevens, who graduated from UVA in 2006, works on our strategic issues team. And this year, he helped on a very high-profile legal opinion on presidential signing statements that you may have read about in the news. These are obviously our three UVA people. We have 150 lawyers from a wide range of law schools, but we're kind of proprietary about our UVA people.
Or some of us, right? Even the non-whoppers. So why would you want to work at JO as opposed to any other place? Different people have different desires at different points in their life. I spent most of my life in private practice in a large law firm in Washington. I thought that was great. And it wasn't that I didn't like that, but what I really became interested in a few years ago was, just a more public service, public-oriented challenge. And I looked at a whole bunch of agencies and NGOs and working on the Hill for Congress and so on and so forth. And just by great luck, my job happened to open up at GAO, and I thought, GAO. I never really thought about what a lawyer might do there. They were looking for, a senior managing lawyer. And two things really appealed to me and influenced my decision to take that opportunity as opposed to others. One was the variety of what we do. It's huge. There is no other agency, almost by definition, in the federal government that does everything that GAO does, because we do at one point or another, everything that the federal government does. We look at it, we turn it upside down, we really get into the details, and that was very appealing to me. I work and manage the financial markets team, which is, the SEC issues, banking, government-sponsored enterprises, what does that mean, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, et cetera. Housing, community investment, everything HUD does, subprime mortgages. You probably heard about problems in that market. We're looking at that. Insurance coverage for Hurricane Katrina, something that Tanya has spent a lot of time on. That's just one team. Natural resources and environment. Liz Beardsley, as you heard, did a huge memo on, is EPA? Does EPA have to go clean up the state of Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina? Answer no, is the short answer, but obviously it has certain responsibilities. Energy, the energy crisis, oil mergers, is that a good thing? Agriculture, food poisoning, E. coli scares, farm subsidies, science also, and the physical infrastructure team. Okay, what does that mean? Telecommunications, how does this country work together? Telecommunications, aviation, highway structures, bridges that fall down, et cetera, et cetera. And those are just, three teams. So the variety, that's the one thing that persuaded me personally. And the other thing was this whole independence issue. To me, everyone at GAO obviously has their own personal views and personal politics. We all need to put those aside when we come to work. And we have, there's all sorts of rules. There's a whole yellow book, the Government Accounting Standards book, that makes very clear how we shall remain nonpartisan and independent. And, you know, frankly, that's a great luxury, I think, for lawyers and the analysts, that we tell it like it is. And a member of Congress or a committee, they work with GAO and they understand that, of course, perhaps they have a certain viewpoint in mind when they make a request to us, but they also understand that the whole value of having a GAO report and a GAO analysis is that, as at the end of the day, they can rely. This is a credible, independent report, and it's not just like, something that an advocate group of one sort or another could put together. So it's really got a lot of credibility to it. And so those were really the two factors that very much impressed me. It's also, as I said, there's an employee surveys done across the entire federal government by this Partnership for Public Service, which is a public policy institute and NGO, and we went up in the ratings. I think we were number 5 or 4 a couple of years ago. This is every other year, and this year we were voted number 2. Very high employee satisfaction. Progressive compensation, that means pay for performance. Essentially, that means the better your performance, the more you can make. It is not, we're not in the GS system, the traditional government system. There's pros and cons to that, but we have I won't go into all the details, but a banded system, which is a lot more flexible. Great benefits, collegial environment, pretty informal, I would say quite informal, flex time and so on and so forth, business casual, there's a fitness center and a child care and so on. We are, all of the lawyers, although we have 11 field offices for the analysts, all of the lawyers actually are in headquarters in Washington, D.C. And we think that that's a very good thing, again, to sort of maintain our independence and to have our own law firm, if you will. We are very much involved right from the beginning on every single job. But at the end of the day, our client is not our colleagues, the analysts. Our client is the Office of the Comptroller General. That's where our fiduciary duty lies, and so that also was very appealing to me. We've been talking for a while. This is probably a good time to answer any questions. Before we do that, this is who we are. This is our office, the Office of General Counsel, as of last week, I think. This is everybody in OGC, alphabetically. We didn't want to make any, false steps. So we're all here, and it's you can see it's a cross section of the United States, I think, and we are very focused on a diverse workplace. We make a lot of outreach, and that's very important to us. I think in terms of finances, something of importance, I think, to folks with high law school loans. And we do get a fair number of people who are considering private practice or want to split the summer, which we very strongly discourage. But we know law school costs a lot. The law school repayment program is very important to folks. And as A.J. Stevens, one of our UVA alums, said to me yesterday, he said, you don't let that color your entire life choice. He had the same law school loans everybody else has here. And, speaking for him, he is just delighted. He loves what he does. He loved working on this presidential signing statement opinion. It's neat stuff. In terms of, private practice, if you have questions about that, happy to answer it. I did work in the 80s, remember those, for EPA for 2 years. I was in the hazardous waste program, actually not as a lawyer technically, but in the program office. I really wanted to work right in the program office. And that was very interesting and a real eye-opener in terms of how Washington works. What I would say about GAO as opposed to that is what we do is more, again, nonpartisan. It's broader. It's, you have the luxury and opportunity to look at an entire program. Liz Beardsley, one of our other UVAs who we mentioned a minute ago, did split her summer with us and a major Washington law firm. And she said, you know, she had been a chemical or environmental engineer for about 10 years before she came to UVA. Her comment was, and, you know, she had a very interesting summer at the firm, but she said, well, I just looked at the, you know, this one little part of this one little client in this one place, or big client, of course. And that was interesting, but as I think her information on the slide shows, she likes having the broader public policy perspective and the opportunity to look at, you know, does this make sense? Is this really operating in the right way? Is this operating the way Congress meant, et cetera? So it's a different kind of perspective, and I don't think that you will get that at any other agency in the federal government. So happy to provide more information today, obviously. That's my contact information. Feel free to give me a call. Drop by if you're in D.C. Send an email. And thank you very much. Happy to take questions.